Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio with information that can save your life. On this show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. We must overstand and see the big picture to realize why everything bad is happening. And certainly you will end up smelling a gefilte fish involved in the situation. As far as the cause of all disease, you can go to either one of my websites, drcarly.com or reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com, and print out the four diagrams that I created back in 1999. The first one is the big picture. It is the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. And then listen to the talk I gave in Chicago in 2008 where I'm explaining the diagrams. And if you do that along with anybody in your family who is worshiping the Church of Modern Day Medicine, and especially getting vaccines or any kind of drugs, certainly that will help them wake up out of their slumber and realize what their white coats are actually doing to them. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons. On either of my sites, you can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them. Because, of course, once your brain is able to realize and see the truth, you'll be able to wake up. If you're taking psych drugs and all kinds of other things, you're going to have a problem waking up your family members. Because with everything they're exposed to, between the vaccines, heavy metals, fluoride, aspartame, psychiatric drugs, I mean, you name it, they're being mind wiped. And you have to be able to think in order to critically evaluate different information. And, of course, I always tell people, don't believe anything I say, check it out for yourself, because we have been lied to about everything. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0062 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, any day of the week. My toll-free number is 888-321-6751. On which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. If you get a strange message that the number has been disconnected or whatever, have the operator dial it for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but if you can access me with the toll-free, please do so. I try to use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 208-935-0094 or toll-free at 888-747-1968. However, we do ask that listeners not use the toll-free number to listen to the show. To support this network, please sign up for the archives at themicroeffect.com. I am no longer allowed to post my archives, so that's where you're going to have to go if you want to listen to shows that you've heard live. One of the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone is purchase a silver lungs colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. On today's show, the answer to the question, what's killing America, is the Fed lost $9 trillion. And we're going to be talking about a lot more than that, of course, but this is in regards to a very important YouTube that I was sent by my guest today's back, J.B. Campbell, one of my most popular guests. J.B. Campbell has a long history, which I've read many times, but let me just say, he started the modern militia movement in 1989 with his book, The New American Man, A Call to Arms, which lasted until 1995 with the state-sponsored destruction of the OKC Federal Building, which basically you know, was done in order to try to give the militia a bad name. The State Department considers Bruce a mercenary. The FBI considers him a problem. The Secret Service considers him a terrorist and couldn't care less because he is a real man. He has researched what the problems are. I strongly suggest you go to his blog, jbcampbellextremismonline.com. Two of my favorite documents that he has written. The first is on May 3rd, 2012, where he wrote Preventing Jewish Rule. And he also wrote a very important article on November 21st, 2012, Jews Against Humans. Whenever I have him on, it always ends up coming back to the Jews because I don't care what they say about, you know, their quote-unquote hate speech. The truth is the truth. It's not hate speech. And these psychopaths must be revealed for what they are because they are causing everything, everything bad that happens. But I'm telling you, Bruce, when I watched that YouTube with this minion, this, let's see, financial terrorist at the privately owned Federal Reserve Bank admitting they, quote-unquote, lost over $9 trillion, I really suggest that all of you put that into YouTube. Fed admits they lost $9 trillion. Watch it for yourself. Watch this, I forget if it was a senator or, you know, a House of Representatives shill, you know, trying to pretend they're asking hard questions. They don't get any answers to their hard questions. Were the police called in to arrest this woman? Are you kidding me? You lost $9 trillion? While they're sucking us dry of everything we have? What do you think about that, Bruce? Are you there? Go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you.
Okay, that was... Congressman Alan Grayson from Florida that was asking the Federal Reserve Inspector General about these missing billions or trillions of dollars, and she was unable to give him any information about it. He asked her if she'd investigated it, and she said, well, actually, no, that's not our responsibility. He said, well, I think it is. But anyway, he was defeated shortly after that. Now he's back in the Congress. Now, I must say, Alan Grayson was the one who revealed the mortgage fraud or foreclosure fraud scandal. And it was a lady, an old gal down in Florida, that was in foreclosure. And her neighbor came over to kind of look over her papers and said, well, who is this company that's foreclosing? And the old gal said, I don't know. That's a new company to me. And she said, well, who was your loan with? Well, she said it's like Florida First National or something. Okay, well, then who is this company that's foreclosing on you? I don't know. I've never heard of them. So that's how the foreclosure fraud first became known, that these banks were bundling mortgages. They called it bundling. And they would then slice and dice these bundles and sell these slices and dices or portions of these bundles of mortgages to Saudi Arabia, to Red China, to all over the world, to quote investors unquote. But the banks failed to record the changes. excuse me, the changes of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And when they failed to record them, they became null and void. And this case in Florida that Alan Grayson first revealed in the Congress was the prototype which led to the unraveling of the whole mortgage and foreclosure fraud business. So much so that last year there's a video, you can see the video of the controller of San Francisco County and City. Hold on a second. The controller of San Francisco County and City had some auditors that he'd hired to look into the matter of foreclosures and mortgage fraud in San Francisco. And he gave a press conference, and you can see this online. It's quite fascinating. He said that in 99% of mortgages that they had investigated in San Francisco, that they were all criminal fraud. And his auditors were standing behind him, a private group of auditors. They were, it was a very dangerous meeting. Obviously, the reporters were stunned. They didn't know what to say. They didn't even know what questions to ask because it's such a fundamental fraud. The controller said, and backed up by the auditors who all said yes, he's telling the truth. He said, "I don't know the future of real estate, and San Francisco County is certainly not the worst. Ventura County is worse," he said, "and other counties in California are even worse." But he said, "It's all fraud. That's the nature of banking, and the Federal Reserve is."
I have to ask a question. And so what did he do about it? He called the news conference. Then what happened? I mean, 99%? I mean, what action was taken for these poor people that had been put through this? And let me also mention, there's a YouTube of a man in Florida who didn't even have a mortgage, who had paid off his mortgage, and they foreclosed on him as well. So that's how bad it is. But what action was taken? Was anything done?
No action was taken. And even the controller said he didn't know what to recommend because there's no basis for any business. There's no basis for any, there's no way to transfer ownership. The one thing he recommended, he said, I can't help you if you lost your home to this fraudulent foreclosure racket. I can't help you. It's too late. I can only tell people who are in foreclosure now, stay put. Do not move. Because they can't prove ownership. This is the time bomb, the nuclear time bomb that is ticking. He said, and it's the same way, not just in California. He said, it's the same way all over the United States. Everything is the same. It's all based on fraud. Once you transfer ownership of a mortgage with no recording, it's all over. And what he was saying was that you stay put, you ask for proof of ownership, they can't provide it, well, you're going to get your house free and clear. That's the situation. And obviously the law can't do anything about it. It's too fundamentally destroyed. It's all based on fraud. And as you know, fraud nullifies all contracts. And there is no statute of limitations on fraud. It doesn't matter when the fraud occurred. It could have been 35 years ago. It doesn't matter. It still nullifies whatever contract you have if it was done fraudulently. It's just like murder. There's no statute of limitations on murder. There is on every other crime. Except fraud. So that's what Alan Grayson actually uncovered. And he got kicked out of Congress for a term. Now he's back in. But that the question he was asking the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve, that woman, as you say, there should have been police or FBI or whoever arresting her on the spot. But they can't because the whole government of the United States is based on a central bank. That's how we got the Constitution, to protect the first central privately owned bank. And we're still stuck with it. So that's the issue we're up against.
Right. And to make matters worse, it was reported in my local paper, CharlotteObserver.com, on January 31st, on page 6A, this quote-unquote new sheriff for the SEC, Mary Jo White, who was a U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York during the Clinton administration, but had spent the last 10 years as a highly paid corporate litigator at a New York firm whose clients include J.P. Morgan Chase, Deutsche Bank, Goldman Sachs, and AIG, has now been assigned the job of basically, you know, being the overseer of her former clients, which you can't make this stuff up. I mean, how could the SEC, you know, appoint somebody like this to keep charge over corruption and fraud of her own clients, which obviously she was protecting them during the last 10 years. It's just amazing. I mean, right in our face, they keep doing these things, and it really makes me ask the question, what will it take for people to say, we're not going to allow this anymore? You know, and I sent out a newsletter last week. If people go to reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, on the links page at the bottom, you can sign up for the American Survival newsletter, which I contribute to every week. And I also discussed in my newsletter entitled Citizens Do Nothing in the Face of Never-Ending Treason and Murder by Medicine, this case, which I'm sure you're aware of, Bruce, where former MF Global CEO John Corzine also testified before Congress, apologizing but saying he did not know what happened to the $1.2 billion that were missing from his clients' accounts. And he wasn't arrested either. I mean, we have people in jail for, you know, stealing a loaf of bread because they've been, you know, basically sucked dry of everything they have. And yet these monsters, these psychopaths that are destroying our entire financial system by design, obviously bringing our country to its knees intentionally, nothing is happening to them. And I really can't even imagine how far this is going to go, because they're telling us, they're right in our face, you know, they like to go on C-SPAN, and I'm sure they all go behind the scenes afterwards and have a few glasses of champagne and say, gee, that was fun. I wonder what the slave work units are thinking about this. It's just mind-boggling. Very, very disturbing because, of course, the financial destruction of the country, as well as, you know, the creation of disease and the destruction of the planet, as well as the people and animals, is the major thing that's bringing us down.
Yeah, well, as you indicated earlier, it always gets back to the Jews, because all of these people that we're talking about, for example, the guy that Blankfein, Lloyd Blankfein, the head of Goldman Sachs at the time, was asked by another Jew in the Senate, Levin, because Levin knows that people are getting pretty fed up with Jews, so they have to make a little effort sometimes to look like they're being cops. So he asked Blankfein about Goldman Sachs's quaint habit of recommending stocks and investments to their clients and then betting against those stocks, taking out short futures on them. Mm-hmm. Betting that they're going to go down in value, even though they've recommended them to their clients for purchase as investments. In fact, Blankfein was quoted by Levin, who said, well, you called this a shitty little deal for your guys, for your own clients. Is that what you do at Goldman Sachs? Do you recommend this sort of thing regularly? And Blankfein, you know, had the gall to say, well, I mean, this is business. You know, this is the risk you take when you invest. That's the way it goes. First your money, then your clothes. He didn't say that, but that was his attitude. First your money, then your clothes. So there's this underlying Jewish amorality that Gentiles don't get. They don't understand how vicious and predatory these people are. That's their way. That's their religion. That's their whole framework of life, is to rip off the suckers. And the suckers are the Goyim, the Gentiles. And it always gets back to this. You can't escape it.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I suggest everybody go to Tidbits from the Talmud. They actually, you know, list all the things that they're allowed to do to the Goy in their Talmud. And it's really quite amazing. Baba Mezia 24a, Jews may steal from non-Jews. Sanhedrin 57a, Jews may rob and kill non-Jews. Baba Kama 37b, Gentiles are outside the protection of the law, and God has exposed their money to Israel. There's much, much more. I mean, saying that a Jew can have sex with a child as long as the child is less than 9 years old. Sanhedrin 59a, murdering Goyim is like killing a wild animal. But my favorite is Libri David 37. To communicate anything with a Goy about our religious relations would be equal to the killing of all Jews. For if the Goy knew what we teach about them, they would kill us openly. And, you know, that's pretty revealing right there. So, yes, people have to check these things out because... of course, the Jews control everything. I mean, they have destroyed morality. I mean, just look at the things that are on television. I was shocked and disgusted to see how far Oprah Winfrey has now gone on her own network. She has this Lisa Ling that does the show Our America. And their episode for last week was... Shades of Kink, where they actually showed bondage and S&M and told people where they can go to learn how to do it. I mean, that is, like, so amazing to me. And it's very obvious that Oprah had sold out to the Jews. As a matter of fact, there's a YouTube of her on her show years ago where there's a Jewish woman talking about how satanic ritual abuse was practiced in her own family, and she was forced to watch, you know, the killing of infants and participate in all this stuff. And now Oprah has gone from exposing things like that to telling people where they can go to learn about sadomasochism. So it just never ends. And, you know, the children of our world, they're just being totally pornified. And is it any wonder why they're doing the things they're doing?
You know, I saw that Oprah Winfrey show back in, like, was it 88 or something? Mm-hmm. It happened. Somebody was watching it and said, hey, come in and get a load of this. And I saw that Jewish gal admit on Oprah's show that her family participated in the ritual sacrifices of children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that show nearly ruined Oprah Winfrey. It nearly destroyed her fantastic career, because she had to apologize to Jewry for having that on there. Not that it was false, but that she had it on her show. And that was a remarkable thing. You can still see it online. You can just do a search on Oprah Winfrey Jewish ritual sacrifice, and you'll see the woman admitting what she's part of.
Yeah, it's still on YouTube, yeah. But now we see how far she's gone in the other direction. Obviously, somebody whispered in her ear, and this is what happens. You know, basically they make you an offer that you can't refuse. Either you do what we tell you, and that's so obvious throughout Hollywood. All of these, you know, quote-unquote celebrities. I'm so sick of them and what they're willing to do for cash, and that they could actually use their cash for some good, and they could start exposing some of these things. But, of course, cash is king, and, you know, they've sold their soul for cash. But, yes, it's truly amazing how far she has now gone in the other direction, and that's just one example. There's all kinds of things going on. But when she had a show telling people where they could learn about S&M, that was just so over the top for me. I just couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's American American culture is a Jewish culture now. The only way to defeat this Jewish culture is to destroy the banking system. That's the whole fundamental base of our destruction is the central bank and the practice of fractional reserve lending.
Right. So, and I would add the corrupt courts in there too, because of course, you know, the courts are also controlled by these same psychopaths. And, you know, if the courts actually worked, then there would be quote unquote justice, you know, brought in many of these situations. But, when you corrupt both the financial system and the courts, it's basically hopeless. And we're seeing it every day. I mean, different things that are happening. I heard one of my listeners contacted me recently. I forgot what state this is in. I get so many calls from people because they're trying different things in different areas. But there's one of the states, they're actually now passing a new code for toilets. And you have to have your toilet inspected every 6 months, and I believe it's going to cost $450 per inspection. And, of course, if they find some problem with your toilet that's using too much water or whatever, then you have to fix the problem on top of it. And then 6 months later, you got to get your toilet inspected again. I mean, they're just taking everything we have. I mean, in every way they can possibly do so, while they're admitting they lost $9 trillion. I mean, what's it going to take, Bruce, to wake up the slave work units who are sitting by and saying, gee, this is really bad, but you know, let's watch the game. You know, tomorrow's another big distraction. We're hearing about the Super Bowl. Right. That's how they're going to distract the people this week, and then we got the SAG Awards. You know, it's always something to distract the people from the important things that are happening.
Yeah, so we just have to concentrate on one institution, I would say. Banking is the goal. We have to do what John F. Kennedy started in 1963. A few months before he died, and that is the issuance by the Congress of debt-free currency, just as he did. He issued over $4 billion in United States notes, copying pretty much what Lincoln did and also copying what Adolf Hitler did. And this is the key. This is how we will eventually get out from under the Jewish thumb. Now, amazingly, last year, the International Monetary Fund, of all things, obviously in desperation, gave a position paper saying that they recommended that governments issue debt-free currency. It costs them nothing. They can pay off their debts, and this is how we must go forward. I've always thought that John F. Kennedy's issuance of U.S. notes led to his death, because no one had a greater, I mean, there were a lot of people who hated him. He made a lot of enemies, the military and the CIA, Israel, But I don't think any of his enemies was as powerful or as threatened as the Federal Reserve was by his issuance of the United States note, which is issued debt-free. There's no interest on it. Some people get it confused with silver certificates that he also issued, but that was a different matter. The silver certificates were backed by silver, but the U.S. notes were backed by nothing, just the faith and credit of the U.S. government. Now, Hitler did this also in desperation in 1933, shortly after he came into power, because the Americans and the British and the French had stolen all of the Germans' gold. And they were totally destitute. Germans were starving. There was 50% unemployment. Approximately 7 million Germans were out of work. It was the worst unemployment in the history of the world, and at the time as well. So they didn't really know what to do. They came to power, but they thought, what can we do now that we're in power? I mean, how do we feed the people? They got the Jewish economic boycott led by Samuel Untermeyer in New York on behalf of Jewry worldwide. He issued a Jewish declaration of war against Germany, trying to force the German people to get rid of Hitler. But, of course, they didn't fall for that. So immediately, Hitler issued some scrip, which is an alternative form of currency, parallel currency for several of the damaged German industries, such as road building and steel and a few other things. And they issued this scrip for these industries, and it was extremely successful. So they thought, well, let's just do the whole German currency debt-free. Take the banks out of it. We just issue the Reichsmark debt-free. And that's how we'll pay our bills. If they don't like it, the hell with them. But everybody liked it because, of course, Germany, it was backed, the Reichsmark was backed by the productivity of the German worker, which, as we know, is pretty high and high quality. So within a few months, employment was increasing. Unemployment was plummeting by a year and a half later. They were on the way to full employment. Within 2 years, it was full employment in Germany, and workers were taking paid holiday cruises, whereas they'd been starving to death 2 years earlier. They were buying cars and homes. Wow. This is the miracle, the German economic miracle that was so remarkable in the 1930s when the rest of the world wallowed in the Great Depression. Well, Germany didn't only have the Great Depression. It had the Versailles Treaty, which allowed the victors from World War I to rip them off and steal everything they owned. So they had a double whammy in the 1930s to overcome, which they overcame within 2 years. They had full employment. And it was a miracle, but it was done because of debt-free currency. And that's what we can do. We can do the same thing at any time. So that's the secret to getting out of our Jewish controlled hell that we're in now.
As a matter of fact, Iceland has done that. They have jailed the banksters. They basically, told the government, you're done. You've committed treason. And now they're well on the way back to financial recuperation. They told the IMF, this whole, usury thing is fraud. We don't owe you anything. We're not going to pay you back. And I talk about that all the time when I do other shows, trying to get people to check that out. That's what we could do. Iceland has shown us the way. But I wanted to ask you, I wasn't aware of those notes that you just talked about that Kennedy put out. I knew about the silver certificates, but I wasn't aware of the notes. what happened to those? I mean, once they were in circulation, did the Federal Reserve just take them all back in and have a burning, or what happened?
Yeah, I've got one in my hands here. It's a $2 bill with Jefferson's portrait on it. It's got the red ink instead of the green ink. It looks identical to a Federal Reserve note, except at the top of it, it says a United States note. And underneath it, it says the United States of America, then $2. And he also issued $5 bills. That's all that was issued in April of 1963. He had also planned to issue $10 bills and $20 bills, and I guess hundreds, the next year. But he was killed in November of 63. Now, this one is signed. It's called Series 1963A, signed by the Secretary of the Treasury, Henry H. Fowler, and the Treasurer of the U.S., Catherine O'Hay Graham. And it says, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. And as I say, the only difference is it's got red ink on it instead of green ink that we see with the Federal Reserve note. The money was, when Johnson took over, the United States notes quickly were taken out of circulation. They disappeared. and there may still be a requirement, a technical requirement every year to print a few U.S. notes. And I don't know if it's still in effect, but it was at the time. It's just that Kennedy declared war on the Federal Reserve by issuing over $4 billion. That's a lot of money back in 1963. He issued $4 billion in U.S. notes, and that really was a declaration of war against the Federal Reserve, because obviously good money drives out bad. If you have to pay interest to a bunch of private Jews for your own currency, but you have the choice to use a debt-free currency, well, the rotten currency is going to disappear very quickly, because nobody wants to pay interest to a bunch of Jews if you don't have to. And that's what he did. Now, they disappeared, and it was never done again in a significant amount. So, but it could be. It could be done tomorrow. And that's what the Federal Reserve is trying to prevent. But even though the IMF did come out with this recommendation last year, so
why do you think they did that? Is that just to pretend that they have the interest of the global government's financial status at hand, because they know that none of them will actually do it? That's very bizarre that they would make such a statement.
It is bizarre. I mean, it's shocking. But you never know with these, with people. There's a lot of people in the world, and some of them are honorable. Some of them accidentally get into positions of power. Maybe the person who issued that recommendation is gone. I don't know anything about it more than what happened. But, even in the U.S. Congress, you can get a guy like Alan Grayson once in a while. That he was pretty relentless in the questioning of the Inspector General for the Federal Reserve. He pretty relentless. He only had a few minutes to ask these questions, but they were very, very hard-hitting, very pointed, and he lost his job over it.
Right.
So, I mean, we got to take these good things when they happen, because they're so rare, and take advantage of them as we're doing right today as best we can.
Exactly. It's very true. And, of course, the fact that the IMF put out the statement, but yet they continue to do what they're doing. As a matter of fact, the other thing, besides the Federal Reserve printing money out of thin air, when I was a kid, I was very poor when I was a kid, and if you asked for anything, you're told, oh, money doesn't grow on trees. Well, once I learned about how the Federal Reserve actually works, I got an idea to write a book for children that money does grow on trees. It's printed out of thin air, it's not backed by anything, And the other aspect to it is that they let this psychopathic Federal Reserve chairman decide on what's going to happen in terms of interest rates. So they also control what the money's actually worth. And it just keeps on plummeting. You know, the interest rate, people that have money in banks, I mean, they're getting, I think it's pretty much zero interest on their, you know, accounts, their savings accounts. But yet the credit card companies are allowed to charge, you know, 20, 30% interest on money that you borrow by using a credit card. And it's getting worse every day. And nothing is happening. And they have these congressional hearings. They're always having these dog and pony shows. I mean, you know, like you said, this Alan Grayson, he did do a good job. And people definitely have to check out that YouTube. Fed admits they lost $9 trillion. But most of the time, they have these hearings, things come out, and then they do absolutely nothing. So I think they have the hearings either to put it in our face so they can go laugh about it later, or to make people believe, oh, Congress, you know, they're on the job, look what they're exposing. But then you got to check out later and see, well, what was actually done about it? In almost all cases, the answer is nothing.
Well, I agree. I've always said the politicians are not going to save us. So, you know, I agree with you 100%. Now, last night, we had a kind of an interesting thing happen here in where I live in Idaho, Teton County. I decided to have to hold a public meeting, which I called Gun Control in Teton County. And we didn't have much time because I'm going to go back to work next week, and we felt that we needed to get it done because of this crisis that we're facing now with another Jewish crisis led by Feinstein and Schumer to steal our guns.
Right.
And if you'd like, I'd like to kind of read what happened last night, or tell you what happened last night, because the sheriff was there.
Please do, because see, people could do this all over the country. They could do the same thing in their own counties. Yeah, this would be great. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me just start out here, because I didn't want the sheriff to come. I wasn't trying to tweak his nose or anything, but some of the other guys, they wanted him to hear it. And they wanted to know what he planned to do about it. So he was sitting there. There were about 100 people. It was a big meeting, as far as I'm concerned, based on, you know, had about 3 days' notice in the newspapers, and mm-hmm. It came from all over the area. So here's what I said. I said, "Who is it, besides the rabid dogs in the Obama administration, that wants us disarmed?" Well, the United Nations wants us disarmed. Communist China wants us disarmed. The Israel lobby wants us disarmed. And, of course, the Mexican drug cartel wants us disarmed. These are the international gangsters. They have requested, no, they have demanded that the Obama gangsters disarm us. It's quite possible that a belligerent meeting such as this is what the Obama gangsters want. It's quite possible that we are being pushed and goaded into violent responses to their violent provocations, such as the sadistic police behavior we've seen all over the country. So what? They mean to enslave all of us and kill some of us. We're going to have to fight back sooner or later, regardless of whom it pleases or displeases. It's either fight or start waving the white flag, and I doubt that anyone in here is ever going to wave the white flag. Nope. We'll fight it out and see who wins. I'm pretty sure it's going to be us. There's no doubt that many police departments are encouraged to brutalize us civilians. There's no denying that many police departments have been trained in Israel or are being trained by visiting Israeli instructors in this country. Now, as an aside, I must say that this sheriff that we have is a New Yorker. And I'll get to him later, but this guy is from New York City. and somehow he became sheriff here. Okay, anyone can see where this is leading. It is leading to a totalitarian dictatorship, but only if the dictatorship can get us to hand over our guns. So it doesn't matter what the Obama gangsters think they want. What matters is what we want. What matters is, what are we going to do about it? We pay the bills, and we'll make the decisions. Anyone who's hoping there's a safe, legal, and peaceful way to hold on to his guns is going to be disappointed. Gun control is about who is going to run this country, us or the foreign gangsters. We're not sure, of course, but it's possible that Obama himself is a foreign gangster. We're still waiting on the ID. If it's going to be us, then we need to be ready at the drop of a hat to fight like wildcats. The threat we face ranges from a militarized police takeover of the sheriff's department to the Blackwater-type mercenaries we saw during Katrina, right up to full martial law run by the U.S. Army and or the United Nations. All of these would be run by the CIA front groups such as FEMA and Homeland Security. We've already seen the Army field manuals on occupation and concentration camps for American dissidents. As we've seen from the Vietnam, the Iraq, and Afghanistan disasters, some places cannot be successfully occupied by the U.S. or U.N. military, no matter how hard they try. Some can, such as Japan, South Korea, and West Germany, but some cannot. All thugs and bullies can be beaten because they're mainly into it for the money and the other bennies. It just takes guns and the guts to use them as they were meant to be used. We just need to get it into our heads that Teton County is one county in Idaho that will not be messed with or intimidated no matter what. As we see every day, over and over, the gangsters deal in horrific and merciless brutality, mainly overseas, but increasingly here at home. It's called state terror. Neither the Democrats nor the Republicans object to state terror, whether it's mass murder by bombers or assassination by drones, bombing weddings and funerals, or sadistic grunts kidnapping, torturing, raping, and murdering anyone who might resent American brutality. The list of American terrorism around the world is too long for this meeting. Many of us have suspected that our military men and women have been trained in Iraq and Afghanistan to brutalize civilians over there is a prelude to do the same to civilians over here. This suspicion began with the infamous 45 questions for soldiers and Marines in 1994, and again just last week with the report that Obama's litmus test for generals keeping their jobs is their willingness to kill American resistors. The authors of American state terror, the politicians and the killers, are the same gangsters who want us to hand over our guns to them. The government knows that America is in an explosive condition, thanks entirely to what the government has been doing to us, especially with 9/11 and its planned tyrannical aftermath known as the War on Terror. It has been waging the war on terror against foreigners in our name. The government has always planned to attack us Americans, and now it is doing so. The war on terror included the Patriot Act and the Military Commissions Act and the annual National Defense Authorization Act. The Patriot Act obliterated the Bill of Rights. The Fourth Amendment is no more. The Gang of Nine on the Supreme Court has found no constitutional problem with the Patriot Act or with any tyrannical action of the Bush and Obama gangsters. We're not going to be protected by anyone in any part of the federal, state, or local government. It is up to us to protect ourselves from the tyrants. It has always been up to us, but human nature being what it is, we have trusted our employees to take care of us. This was very bad judgment on our part. It was lazy. It was cowardly, and it was wrong. It is reasonable to expect them to join with us against the federal tyrants, but this is our responsibility. After all, we pay the bills. It is estimated by the government that there are between 300 and 400 million firearms in America today. There are more guns in America than there are cars, and guns don't tend to wear out. The only thing that stands in the way of a declaration of a totalitarian dictatorship by the Obama administration is this massive number of guns in our hands. And there is the historical fact that America came into being as a result of the violent overthrow of a totalitarian dictatorship. It was not done by the Americans fighting a foreign enemy. It was done by Englishmen fighting their own English government. When the fighting was over, the English rebels had become Americans. The government knows that it cannot disarm us physically. It is an impossibility. The next best thing is to disarm us mentally, psychologically. As the current Attorney General Holder admitted years ago in a different administration, he said, we need to be, speaking of us, we need to be brainwashed, that was his word, to give up our guns. I started the militia movement 30 years ago this year to counter the attempt by government to brainwash us to give up our guns. I think the movement was successful, at least to that extent. The militia movement was the biggest, fastest-growing voluntary armed movement in American history. It came out of nowhere at a time much less dangerous than today. It collapsed from the shocking federal massacre at Oklahoma City in 1995. But 18 years later, we are mentally much tougher and more sophisticated than we were then. Federal atrocities still shock us, but they no longer make us doubt ourselves or the correctness of our duty. Thanks to the miracle of the internet and thanks to the power-mad overreach of the federal gangsters, millions of heavily armed Americans understand what we are about to experience, which is the naked, violent struggle between the tyrants and the normal people who only want to be left alone. The tyrants cannot leave us alone. They must control us without limit. Violence is the American way. It is our history and it is our way. The American tendency to violence has been exploited by the government in its genocidal wars against foreigners. The National Defense Authorization Act for last year authorized the arrest and disappearance of Americans in secret with no due process. The NDAA allows federal agents and the military to kidnap, torture, and murder Americans who are considered enemies of the state. Senator Carl Levin revealed last year that these tyrannical licenses to kidnap, torture, and murder us were placed in the NDAA on Obama's insistence. So now we are confronted with another attempt to outlaw assault rifles. Everyone in this room knows what an assault rifle really is. It's a machine rifle that goes fully automatic and fires an intermediate cartridge. Intermediate means that the brass is shorter and holds less gunpowder and creates a slower bullet velocity than a regular rifle cartridge. Examples are the AK-47 and the M-16 and even the old American M-2 carbine. Assault rifle, quote-unquote, is now a politically motivated term of hatred, an attempt to make the gun owner appear aggressive and homicidal just by owning one. The term comes from the German original Sturmgewehr, or storm rifle, a word coined by Adolf Hitler to describe the first one, the STG-44. I kind of like the word, so I will use it tonight. Remember, a storm rifle is really not a storm rifle unless it can be fired full auto. We'll just pretend for now that we're talking about storm rifles and not their semi-automatic cousins that are legal to buy unless you live in Connecticut. Which brings up an interesting question. Anyway, we know that the feds aren't against storm rifles for everyone, just us. The president and the other politicians are surrounded by storm rifles and submachine guns for their own protection. That's because they work real good. The president supplies a storm rifle to every soldier and Marine he sends overseas to kill foreigners. Homeland Security just put out a request for bids on 7,000 actual full auto storm rifles. Except when the DHS wants some, they are renamed personal defense weapons. In our hands, they are known as assault weapons. Do we see how that works? The CIA has provided storm rifles and much more to the Al-Qaeda terrorists in Libya and Syria to overthrow those governments. It did the same thing to the Al-Qaeda rebels in Afghanistan in the 1980s, where the CIA and Zbigniew Brzezinski actually invented Al-Qaeda. The president and his attorney general have provided thousands of civilian and military storm rifles to the Mexican drug cartels, which they used to kill, reportedly, thousands of Mexicans, and even some Americans. Are the Mexicans in the drug cartels our friends or our enemies? The feds are conducting a war on drugs. This war has been a declared war by all presidents and funded by the Congress, going back to Nixon. Can we assume, given that we are waging the war on drugs, that the drug cartel members would be considered our enemies? What is the definition of treason? It is to give aid and comfort to an enemy in time of war. We're in a declared war. Our leaders have given not just aid and comfort, but thousands of storm rifles to our enemy during this war, which the enemy used to slaughter thousands of Mexicans and also some Americans to justify disarming us. It really doesn't get much more treasonous than that. What Obama and Holder did was not only treason, it was international terrorism, according to Title 22, U.S. Code, F-D.
Okay, wait, hold on, Bruce. Let's stop there because we're going to a break. I don't want people to miss a word of this very important statement that you made. I can't wait to hear what the sheriff had to say. Okay, folks, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. They can say, you know, just say no. Say no to the man. Say no to the mama kids. And make them take it themselves. Just say no. Say no to the vaccine. Don't get any injection. You never know what's in them. They're all poison. Put the needle on them. And there's no record that they ever prevent anything.